Hanukkah's early this year, my mother said, mostly to herself. She stood on a step stool, unearthing the menorah from our kitchen pantry. My brother pounced.
Actually,
he told her, voice slightly nasal,
it isn't. Statistically speaking, December 12th is neither early nor late. For example, 5 years ago, Hanukkah started on December 7th. In 1969, December 4th.
Jonathan had recently acquired a perpetual Jewish calendar and was obsessed by it. He claimed he had a photographic memory, and maybe he did. He had memorized his Haftorah portion in under a week. But for all his boasting, my older brother sure couldn't remember that one thing my parents told him over and over. Nobody likes a know-it-all. Mom looked at Jonathan, shook her head, and smiled. She set the menorah in a tinfoil roasting pan and slid it into the oven. Soon, the sweet smell of warm wax filled the kitchen. My brother liked numbers. I liked words. Countenance, crepuscular, galaxy, galoshes, and now perpetual. In Hebrew school, we were learning different words, different names for God.
El Elyon
meant God Most High. Was there a least high God?
Elohim
meant mighty ones, which was no surprise, except it was plural. The rabbi said this multiplied God's power.
Hashem
meant the name, which was confusing in a trippy sort of way. His name is the name. I expected my classmates to have 100 questions about God's names, but they didn't. What did they care about? Not who is God or what is the nature of God, but how do you spell God? We argued if it should be G-D or G-D or maybe just G-D. Was one abbreviation better than another? Did the hyphen mean something that the little star didn't? Could you put an ampersand in the middle, or was that pagan? How about a dollar sign? Was that anti-Semitic? Could Jews be anti-Semitic? What we did know was that the three letters, G-O-D, must never be spelled out. If they are, then that piece of paper can never be thrown in the trash. It is sacred. Which is exactly why Baruch Benson, Bobby Benson in real life, during the final minutes of Monday afternoon Hebrew school, wrote G-O-D, all caps, all three letters, on a sheet of notebook paper, then shoved it into Kenny Growlick's back pocket.
Have to keep it forever,
he sing-songed as the bell clattered. In the hall, Kenny yelled,
Glenn, you're it!
And slapped the God paper into Glenn's hand, where it stayed until Glenn passed it to Shimon, who was always off in dreamland, until Cheryl, thinking it was something else, grabbed it, giggled, and pushed it off onto Debbie. By then, we were in the parking lot, shivering, waiting for our carpools home. Before running into the sea of idling cars, Debbie passed the damp folded, unfolded, refolded note to Nurit, who was new and didn't get the game. That's when I took it, because unlike all of them, I knew how to handle the name of God. You bury the name of God. God was still in my pocket as we sat down to supper. As we ate our meatless Monday casserole, the radiator hissing comfortably behind me, Jonathan dove back in.
Hanukkah this year is also not early compared to 1980, when it will begin December 2nd, or 1991, when it starts December 1st.
He paused to push his hair out of his eyes. Jonathan's curls were a mob of commas and question marks. And then he repeated,
1991, a numeric palindrome.
As Jonathan lectured on, I played with the small gold high around my neck. Grandma B had given it to me for Hanukkah 3 years ago, a gift from her final trip to Israel. Jonathan kept blathering, so next I stared at the bronze menorah, wax-free and gleaming from its bath in the oven. My brother had intentionally filled it with red and green candles, Christmas colors.
And in 2013, the first night of Hanukkah will be November 27th, and the first day will be Thanksgiving.
To me, 2013 seemed like science fiction. I'd be 40. No.
You'll be 53, and I'll be 56. Mom and Dad?
He drew a finger across his throat.
Dad.
I beg your pardon.
Father replied,
I'll be 80, and your mother will be a spry 76.
Jonathan snorted.
Who lives to be 80?
With that attitude, Mom said, maybe we should skip the presents tonight. Jonathan shrugged.
It's only book night.
On Hanukkah's first night, our presents were always clothes. The second, books. My parents saved the biggest gift for the last night. Or, Mom said, I could just give Emma her book and leave you to consider the fifth commandment. Remember that one? Honor thy father and mother. That got him. Not the honoring our parents part, just the idea that I'd get a present and he wouldn't.
I'm so sorry,
Jonathan pleaded, but his tone was more theater than apology. My mother relented, dramatically handing us our gifts, putting on a show of her own, but her feelings were obviously hurt. Didn't Jonathan remember Mom's own mother, Grandma B, had died in December, just 2 years ago? Some genius he was. It wasn't until the second chapter of Island of the Blue Dolphins, personally I loved book night, that I remembered the paper in my pocket. I examined it under my desk lamp. God. If I had liked Bobby Benson, or if he had written God's name in fancy calligraphy, I might have kept it, at least for a while. But God was just three awkward letters, smudged pencil on creased paper, oafish, ungainly. When I'd taken it from Nurit, discarding the paper had seemed simple. Jewish law says to bury anything with God's name. Worn-out prayer books, tattered mezuzah scrolls, and especially Torahs. But as I pinned the paper to my bulletin board, I wondered what to bury it in. What is the proper coffin for God? Under my blankets, I thought about coffins and being dead, being endlessly dead, perpetuity. I hated imagining either of my parents gone forever, even in 2013, a year a million miles away. Death scared me, but I was too old to run to my parents for comfort. Instead, I envisioned Grandma B, with her cable-knit sweaters and salt-and-pepper hair, how she had smelled like rose water and cold wool, how she read me bedtime stories, softly sang from Psalm 90, the bedtime prayer. The next night, my father chose the candles, red, yellow, and green, with white for the shamas, the helper candle.
Traffic light colors.
That didn't seem very holy to me, but our family rule was that no one complained about other people's candle choices. After dessert, I gave Jonathan the 45 single of In the Year 2525. It's not a hopeful song. Creepy, really. But Jonathan liked its numbers and space-age sound. He gave me a Flintstones bike bell, which made me wonder if I'd be getting that purple stingray bike I wanted. Snazzy, jazzy, banana seat. On Wednesday, our candles alternated red, orange, and yellow, Mom's autumn palette. Jonathan received a gold-plated mechanical pencil, and I unwrapped a set of 24 Prismacolor pencils. In counterpoint, a single stout white candle burned steadily on the far end of the table. Tonight was Grandma B's yahrzeit. After supper, I used my new pencils to draw Hanukkah cards for my father and mother. Tomorrow, my brother and I would give gifts to them. Jonathan gave Dad QB7 and the promise to Mom.
You can't go wrong with Chaim Potok,
my father had counseled when my brother had asked for his advice. Mom said the same thing about Leon Uris. I gave my parents, both enthusiastic gardeners, a shared gift, vegetable seeds to start tomatoes, peppers, and squash in the sunroom. February is such a dreary time of year, Mom said, unwrapping a packet of peas. It lifts my heart to see green shoots. Peas and lettuce are for early planting, I told her, even though I knew she knew this. Those seeds go right in the ground. As Mom nodded, I remembered last night's yahrzeit candle and wondered if she was thinking of Grandma B, buried in the cold earth. Buried. No more ignoring the God paper. From the back of my top dresser drawer, I dug out the small white box that had helped my chai necklace. I folded the God paper and set it inside. Tomorrow I'd bury it in the vegetable garden, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, ephemeral, ethereal, ether. Except I envisioned Grandma B lying in the cemetery, death everlasting. Was Grandma lonely? At least, I comforted myself, she lay next to Grandpa Herschel. There was another name for God.
El Echad.
The One. Strange for someone with a dozen names, and also sad. Would God's name be lonely, buried in our vegetable garden? I imagined
Hashem
underground for years and years, long after I grew up and moved away. What could keep God company in the small white box? I considered the tiniest occupants of my room, the glass cat with the chipped ear, the dollhouse tea kettle, my Grandma Moses' postage stamp, canceled, my Apollo 8 postage stamp, uncanceled. Nothing seemed right. Thursday was my night to choose candles. Blue, yellow, blue, yellow, blue, with a yellow shamus. As we blessed them, another of God's names rose to mind.
El Olam.
The world, the universe. Even, my teacher had said, infinity or eternity, perpetual.
In 1978,
Jonathan announced, even before Mom sat down,
the last day of Hanukkah will be New Year's.
Another topic, shall we? Mom intervened. Emma, what would you like to discuss? I thought for a moment, then asked her, how do you spell God?
G-O-D, dummy.
I don't mean like that. How do you write it so you can throw out the paper? G-D or G-D? Or do you use that little star?
It's called an asterisk.
My father sent Jonathan a scowling look.
I don't think it matters in English. Though, come to think of it, the Temple Bulletin uses G-D. Why do you ask?
We're learning about God's names in Hebrew school. Dad sliced a piece of flank steak. He looked thoughtful as he chewed.
Way to kill the conversation, Jonathan whispered.
I didn't mind. I looked at the candles. They reminded me of sky and stars, how our sun was a star. I had thought the shamus was the least important candle, but maybe it was the most. Without it, the other candles couldn't shine. Maybe God is the shamus.
Or.
The Hebrew word for light. Is Or one of God's names, I asked. The light?
You're certainly a philosopher tonight.
Mom began clearing our dishes. My mother, she said, wrote it with a little star. The next day I searched the world for something, the right thing, to put in the box with God. Flower petals would shrivel. A spider would die. Pine needles? Too much like a Christmas tree. A yarmulke wouldn't fit, and a loose thread plucked from my father's talus. Well, there were no loose threads, I tried. Half a Hanukkah candle? A clove from our spice box. Ashes? Dust? Then I remembered
Elohim.
Mighty ones. Plural. God needs God. At my desk, on my best stationery, in my best handwriting, I wrote, God, 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 and folded it into fourths. I set my gods on top of Baruch's God and taped the box shut. As I walked behind our house, trowel in one hand, the box in the other, I smelled chicken baking and latkes frying. Soon we would light the Hanukkah and Sabbath candles. I hurried to the garden where next spring's sorrel, leeks, and walking onions lay resting, perennials. The soil was cold, but not too hard. I began to dig. There are Hebrew blessings you recite when you hear a thunder, feel an earthquake, or see lightning, a comet, or a rainbow. There's even a blessing for strange-looking animals. But what do you recite when you bury God's name between rhubarb and strawberries, when you cover God with a blanket of dirt? In my mind, I smelled rose water and cold wool. Grandma B. Now I knew what to say, the bedtime prayer. With my wing I cover you. Under my wings take refuge. You will not know the fright of the night because you know my name.